All right, Vegas Sports Nation, back here for another great edition. Minus one, that is our today. We got Stevie Slapshot and Brooks Whitmore is we gave him the day off. We let him have the day off, and so me and Stevie's going to talk all things sports. We'll talk a little UNLV, the spring game. I had the opportunity to go out there and watch the spring game. Got a lot of new players that I'm interested in just kind of talking a little bit to Stevie about. And then also we'll talk some NC2A tournament. We got our two champs, UConn and South Carolina. On the women's side, we'll talk a little bit about that. Talk a little bit of Raiders. We'll sprinkle that in, and then we'll jump right into VGK. I'm sure Stevie got a lot to talk about with that. Brooks is not here to talk VGK, but I'm definitely got some questions about this team going into the playoffs, and Stevie will talk about that. So, Stevie, what's up, my brother?
Hey, bud. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, man.
Me too. I'm just going to kind of listen to you on the other stuff. I did watch the Knights games, but I've been up here with family just having a good time, and I really haven't I knew about South Carolina. I didn't know who had won the men's until you just said it. So
yeah, really we got a men's champ.
A lot of sports. All right.
Well, yeah,
I'll just kind of follow your lead on that kind of stuff, Mark, because I've just been up here kicking it with family, including my 92-year-old father, who's doing really well. So it's all good.
Oh man, that's wonderful. That's beautiful, man. I hope we make it to 92, Stevie.
Yeah, he will. He's. Well, I'm telling you right now, Mark, the guy's not going anywhere. God bless him.
Oh man, God, all praises due to God, the Almighty. Man, that's wonderful to hear. God, I'm glad. I mean, I know how much you work and how much you're very dependable, and for you to take a week off, man, that's well deserved, and I'm glad you're up there and celebrate and just kind of hanging with family. Yeah. How's the weather up there where you at?
It's not been good overall. Oregon this time of year gets a lot of rain, so it's been raining, but right now the sun's out.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. We got some sun here. So, which is okay. Good because it's, you know, Vegas has been kind of, you know, hit and miss, a little rain, a little wind. Okay. So today was real nice. It looks like we got in almost into the 80s. So, but
yeah,
let's talk some sports, Stevie. I mean, we're both very versatile in the world of sports. So, I just want to lead right into, this past weekend, Saturday, UNLV had their spring game. And one thing about the spring game, Stevie, is, you know, it's hard to really, with any sport, you know, it's kind of like spring training. It's kind of like, preseason football. It's very hard to gauge how well a team is going to be or how well they're going to do in the fall when they're playing against other competition.
Right.
And so as I was out there at the spring game, I was just really looking for some holes of players that they brought in, and with the transfer portal and them being number one ranked team in the Mountain West, the recruiting class this year, I can see why. There were a lot of players, Stevie, that I was really impressed with. Younger guys, older guys, transfer guys. I think this team that won 9 games last year and this team this year, they added some pieces where they could get to 10 or 11 wins this year, Stevie. That's how impressive they were. Just because I was looking, I was like, okay, a guy made a play or got an interception or scored a touchdown. I look at the roster and it was either a transfer guy or somebody that's a junior or a senior from last year's team. So their veterans and transfer guys were making a lot of plays out there in spring game, and they stood out. And which me, I think that's the great thing about when you're going into a spring game is you just kind of see what you have. What they did is they did first team against first team offense, defense, second team offense, second team defense. And I was really more impressed, Stevie, with the second team offense and second team defense. First team offense, first team defense looked it good. They did everything right. But you got two Lions going up against each other, right? So it's hard to gauge. But when you look at this UNLV team or just spring ball, spring training, spring, you know, hockey preseason.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that you want to see when you have a spring showcase? What are some of the important things for a team to have?
So specifically to UNLV, because they lost the two quarterbacks, I would want to know what the quarterbacks look like to you. And then for me, it's always, you know, offensive line, defensive line. That's where games are won and lost to me. So I would want to know, you know, how the offensive line looked to you, how the defensive line looked to you.
Yeah. And you know, something that was very impressive, we'll start at the offensive side of the ball, because that's usually the defense is usually the side of the ball where it's like, OK, they're ahead. Right. They're always a little bit ahead of the offense. The offense kind of takes true. A little bit more time to gel. So
right
on the offensive side, they have this kid, Haji Malik Williams. He's a quarterback. Okay. He attended military prep school. So he's a tough kid. He was at the U.S. Military Prep Academy. And then he went to Campbell University, not well known. It's kind of a, you know, a smaller school. And so this guy, he's a senior transfer out of Atlanta.
Okay.
And I was really impressed with his decision making. What I mean by that is he made some good decisions to be only in this offense for 2 months. And he was making some decisions, and then he was making a lot of decisions from the pocket. One thing with spring game, spring ball, and I've been to a lot of spring games, is players that's not familiar with the offense or familiar with the players, they get happy feet and they want to take off and run. This kid sat in the pocket like a, and I had to look at the roster. I'm like, this guy cannot be a sophomore, freshman, or a red shirt. He has to be either a transfer from a school because of his decision making and his calmness in the pocket. Not a real tall kid, about 6'1", about 205, athletic, but he was very mobile when it came to staying in the pocket, making reads, and he threw two or three touchdowns against some of the first team players. And so it was just exciting to see this kid get in there, make some plays. And with a little more playing as far as coaching and learning the offense, learning the system, this might be a guy who's going to compete to either be a starter or a solid backup.
Sounds very encouraging.
From what I've seen.
You want the quarterback to make good decisions, Mark, because I talked about offensive line, defensive line, but also turnovers are huge. The more... usually the team that turns the ball over more loses the game. So you don't want to be turning the ball over. So this guy making good decisions, that's very positive for me.
Yeah, and a lot of decision. And then we had a guy, I want to talk a little bit about one more quarterback, and then we'll talk about some of the offense and defensive linemen. But Frail, you know, he's been there. He's been in the system.
Right.
He's been there. He was kind of he got some starts under his belt. And looks like what he did, he's a senior. This is his third year. What he looked like he did, Stevie Frail, who he went with the first team. He was on the first team offense, made some good decisions, but he looked like a kid that had matured. He looked like he matured and even slimmed down. He actually looks like a legit quarterback now. Coming into his senior year, you know, he watched Brumfield. He watched Jaden jump over him, and before all this was said and done, he was supposed to be the guy that was supposed to have that starting spot last year. It was kind of his job, he thought, but for him to do what he did this spring and some of the decisions he was making, this kid got an arm. I was very impressed with him as well, his running ability. It just looked like he's now saying, I'm here and I want to play and I want to be on the field, coach. What do I have to do? Cool. What do I need to do? And I think his offseason really helped him, because he actually, you know, I wasn't in the press box. I was on the field and I was able to see some of these guys kind of more up close and personal. His thighs look a little bit bigger. His arm strength look a little bit stronger. He looked like a guy that can be a starter in the Mountain West. He looked like a starter in the Mountain West. So that was very impressive, and it was encouraging because they got three quarterbacks on the roster and one more coming. So they'll have four quarterbacks, Stevie, in the fall.
Sounds like Frell wants it. If he put in that work before spring, that tells you he wants it bad, and that's good.
No, you can just see the difference in his attitude. He did make some decisions that was probably questionable, but he made a lot more decisions that were more like, okay, now the UNLV, they're going to have a competition brewing at quarterback.
That's good. It's good to have competition too.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens. But their offensive line, I was talking earlier to someone, and I was telling them about the offensive line. They lost a few players, but what I noticed, Stevie, on both sides, offense and defense, it looked like they got some Division I players that probably could have played at just from the look and the way they were protecting, the way they were blocking. Some of the kids that they brought in from other schools, they really did a solid job, because a lot of those players that they have now, 6'6", 6'5", 6'4", 6'6", 6'3", across the offensive line.
Okay.
But the guys don't look like the normal off. You know, now these offensive linemen, they kind of look like, you know, they're more muscular, more fit, more. And that's right. What these UNLV linemen look like. They look like cool. some linemen that came from Power 5 schools. And when I seen them running and out there blocking, I mean, I seen 2 and 3 linemen downfield on run blocks.
Cool.
I think they were able to solidify that offensive line, but with more athletic type of guys instead of, you know, I call them the big uglies. Offensive line and defense are kind of like the big uglies, right? They don't get no glory. They don't get no recognition. They don't get no NIL deals. But they are the foundation of what you do on offense and defense.
Absolutely right.
Right? Because it starts there. Right. So they filled some holes there with some players that they lost. And a lot of the guys they had starting on that first team was either transfers or some junior college guys. So these are guys that's coming into play now.
I think this is impressive. This sounds good.
Yeah, and I was really impressed with their defensive line. Same thing. They went out and got a couple of transfers from Power 5 schools, which, you know, we know that's where Barry Odom is from. Some Power 5 schools that really are going to make a difference in what UNLV wants to do as far as sustaining the run. We knew UNLV had a very, you know, it was a shootout. Every game, it was a shootout. 30 points, 35 points, 43 points. So it was always a shootout. I don't think that's going to be the case this year. I think they addressed stopping the run and stopping the pass. Secondary, they had one guy that really stood out to me. Tony, remember this name, Tony Grimes. He's a transfer from Texas A&M.
Okay.
Couple interceptions, couple of knockdowns, and he was going up against White. Okay, one of our best offensive receivers, Ricky Wright III, who came back and looks a lot thicker and ready to play as well. But Tony Grimes in that secondary, that was probably, I want to say that was probably their least experienced group.
Okay.
So they returned most of the players in the secondary, and then they added Tony Grimes. Last year, he was at Texas A&M. 37 tackles, 2 pass breakups, 3 interceptions. So now he transfers to UNLV, and he looks all of 6'3", about 190, just solid, can run. So that's a name that, because I was really looking as a former defensive back, I was looking at what they did in the secondary. They also added another kid from New Mexico State that I thought that was going to be, he's going to be really impressive. He's I looked at the roster and I said, Gorman. he went to Gorman High School, and then he transferred over here to UNLV from New Mexico State. And this was another guy, Jermaine Fossil. Keep your eye on him. Jermaine Fossil. He is a senior, 5'11", about 190. Played at Bishop Gorman and transferred from New Mexico State. He's actually a sophomore, but he made some plays on the ball when last year they didn't have a lot of playmakers in the secondary. And so overall, Stevie, what I noticed UNLV did is they addressed a lot of holes, a lot of spots where they were weak at, and probably went and watched film and said, we got to address and get players that can help us right now. They went out and got players that can help them like day one.
Wow.
Not freshmen.
This is impressive. Coming off of that year. Of course, it's easier coming off of that year, right? To bring guys in. Cause they, you know, they saw what UNLV did last year. They know that, you know, they're coming to a good club, good coach, and they assume that they will only get better.
Yeah.
And I was really impressed with what Odom did last year. And now it sounds like he has even more talent. I can hardly wait to see what he does with all the talent he has now.
Yeah. And that, like I said, they have something special brewing at UNLV football. We watched the ladies, UNLV men's basketball, won a couple of games in NIT. And right. I think when you're winning, Stevie, in this day and age, right, UNLV has the facilities. UNLV yep. has the town of lights. They have good scheduling through the Mountain West Conference and in preseason and all, you know, men's and women's basketball. But why not UNLV now, where it's a stable conference? Before, one thing about players coming to UNLV was like, okay, we're competing with Boise State, we're competing with UNR, we're competing with Arizona State, we're competing with USC, UCLA, Oregon State, you know, all the schools on the West Coast. UNLV had to kind of compete for when it came to recruiting.
Yeah.
And the one thing UNLV wasn't able to do, Stevie, is put together some wins.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the other thing. So now those three programs, the men's basketball, the women's basketball, and football, those are all good coaches. Really, really good coaches. Now, Kruger kind of had to prove himself to me. He did, as far as I'm concerned, this year. And we saw what Odom did, and we saw what the women's coach did. So, that attracts good athletes to those programs. They know they're going to get good coaching. They know that they're going to win games. So why wouldn't they want to come here?
Well, I mean, I think that's, you know, the ultimate part of the younger generation now is, one, NIL, and two, what are the facilities like? It's the glamour. What are the you're playing in Allegiant Stadium. You're playing at the Thomas and Mack. You're playing at Cox Pavilion. Right. These are all high-end places for kids to play. But when you're winning, the attraction becomes that much more easy as far as when you go out and get kids, right? When you go out, like now, people are saying UNLV is an option, whereas 2, maybe 3 years ago, it was like, UNLV was probably the sixth or seventh option. I think now they're in the top two or three. If you start talking about West Coast schools, you still got UCLA, USC. They're all heading to the Big Ten. But when you look at the Mountain West and we look at some of the things in this conference, San Jose State, Boise State, Fresno State, New Mexico, Air Force. You start looking at what these teams are in and how much more competitive it's become. You can play in the Mountain West and get an opportunity to play at the next level.
Yeah, and so also UNLV, you know, with the Fertitta funding, the training facilities are as good as you'll find anywhere, right?
Yes.
So you have that working for you, and then as you say, you talk about the NIL money. There's plenty of money in Las Vegas, and if you're winning, you'll get some of that. So I think all of those attract, you know, really good athletes to these programs. So there's no reason why the UNLV programs can't continue to win.
Yeah, and they will. And I truly think they've proven that they can win. It was a matter of some coaches coming in. Of course, we got Lindy LaRock, who's taken and made UNLV women's basketball a contender, really serious contender. Yeah. And we do want to send a shout out to Desiree Young. She was just named All-American. So she is an All-American on the All-American team. So
she earned it.
She definitely earned it. UNLV earned it. Lindy LaRock. And I hope they reward her with a extension because this is her final year. So I'm hope they're working on an extension so we don't lose Lindy LaRock because 3 years in a row, she's won the Mountain West Conference.
If they're not, they'll hear from me when I get back to town. If they're not,
they got to be working. Hopefully they're listening. Yeah. I know we have the AD on, we have the coaches on. So if Lindy LaRock is in the market, right? Like, cause we see a lot of coaches leave and a lot of it has to do with money and relocation. She loves Vegas. She loves her family is here. She just had a baby a couple of years ago, having a baby, this coming up summer. Or later in the summer, I think she's going to be having another child. So this is her home, and rewarding her, it shouldn't be even a question. It should be a matter of when.
My battle cry is lock down the rock.
Yeah.
Lock down the rock, Mark.
Lock her down because you don't want somebody else to take her.
Absolutely right.
You don't want somebody else's. Hey, but moving on, UNLV, that's UNLV football, basketball, men's and women's. And UNLV has just done a tremendous job with turning these programs around, new coaching, Barry Odom, Lindy LaRock, and Kevin Kruger, and, you know, other sports too as well. We don't want to forget the UNLV soccer, UNLV softball, volleyball, golf. So many great sports down at UNLV, and they're finally kind of getting some national attention, and that's attracting national players. So all across the board. So, all right, let's dive into it, Stevie. I know you said you didn't really watch a lot, but we do got our men's NC2A champion last night. Right. UConn Huskies back to back. One of the Hurley brothers, Bobby. Yeah. I think it's Bobby. Right. You got, I think it's Bobby or Jack. Jack is the dad. But now we have, UConn Huskies with their back to back championships against Purdue, 75-60. And this game, Stevie, was the score. It was exactly what the score says it was. It wasn't. Okay. It wasn't like, oh, they scored later in the game or any. UConn dominated from court to court. Five different players from UConn was in double figures. You had 20, 11, 11, 15, and then you had another guy with 10. So they had five players in double figures, and this was UConn's game, and they dominated from court to court. I don't think anybody was surprised by UConn winning, and it's tough to win it back to back since the Florida Gators did it in 2006. I want to say 2007. That was the last time a team won back to back men's championships. But I don't know, this UConn Husky team. Wow, you play the game to win championships, and they truly won is hard, Stevie, in any sport, but to win two. Yeah. Very impressive with Coach Hurley.
Yeah. This will sound like, you know, after the fact, but I told the guys in the room that I work that UConn was my pick before the tournament started. I was just so impressed with their overall play. They have so many options. Like, if you shut down one thing, they can come at you with something else. They're a really talented group. And Hurley's a really good coach. As you said, his father was a coach. He and his brother both played, major college basketball. And then, Bobby played for the Sacramento Kings for a while. Really good player. And he knows how to coach. He knows the game of basketball. Not surprising. I have to tell you too, with Purdue, I thought that this could happen to them in that there is a way to attack, you know, Edie, even though, you know, he's big, and can dominate games. He seems stiff to me. Like, there's no fluidity to his movements.
Yeah.
He can't spin on you. Things like that. And I'm just wondering how it's going to go for him in the pros. When you're kind of a stiff guy like that, even at that size, people can go by you. They're just, you know, pro basketball players are so incredibly athletically gifted that you just can't be a big guy and expect to get by. So we'll see how that works. But I expected UConn to win. It's just an incredible team with a really good coach. So it doesn't surprise me the outcome here.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right when we start talking about Edie. I mean, we don't get a lot of time to really watch a lot of these games and a lot of these teams because of the time zone difference or, you know, big, you know, they're you know, we're watching and doing other things. So we don't really get the zone in and focus on them until the NC2A tournament start. And, you know, I had a chance to really just kind of dissect Edie's game because I was like, okay, but I went all the way as far back that, you know, he wasn't even highly recruited one. Right. So he's improved year over year over year. And that's what I like to see in a player is the improvement. Sure. How much improvement have you made from day one, year one to where you are now? Two-time NC2A player of the year, back-to-back player of the year. You don't have too many 7'5" or 7'4" players that can even just kind of move, and he does have some movement in him. He is a little bit, you know, frail as far as strength wise. I think he needs to get a little bit stronger. His feet work needs to be a little improved. But those are things that they can work on in the NBA. Those are things that they can work on. But you can't work on height. You can't work on, you know, his post move. You can't work on, you know, certain things that a coach can be able to say, look, I can take this kid and make him, you know, we was talking about Wembanyama when he came out.
Yeah.
Ah, thin, skinny. And, you know, you can just look at him and look at some of the numbers. I mean, he's doing double doubles every night. So I think Zach, depending on where he falls or, you know, if someone, you know, decides to give him an opportunity, which I think somebody will, because just because of his height and what he did. He had 37 points last night of the 60. So he had 37 of the 60. If he would have got 15 points from one other person, this game would have probably went a different way. But he had 37, 10, and 37, 10, and a double-double, six offense, six defense. He was 7 from to 10 from the free throw line and 15 to 25 from the free throw line. He played 39 minutes, but he had 37 points of the 60. So he had over half of their points.
Well, that's impressive. But then that also says to me good coaching by Hurley in that, okay, we can't stop this guy, so we're not going to worry about that. We're going to shut down everybody else.
And that's what they did.
If he has no help, we win.
Yep, and that's what they did. It was very impressive because they just, I mean, even though they had a couple of big bodies, they have a couple of players that are, you know, in that 6'9", 7 foot range, and they were able to do a good job on him, like you just said, which is why not game plan that way? We can't stop this guy. Let's contain him and make somebody else beat us.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying in the huddle. Or at practice.
Yeah.
We can't stop him. Let's contain him and make sure he's going to get his 30 or 20. Right. He's going to get it.
Right. Yeah.
But if we can hold, it was only one other player that had 12 points. Everybody else had 4, 5, 2. scoring.
Yeah. That's obviously the focus.
That's your scoring. You had one player in to play 30 minutes and had 0 points.
Yeah.
Another guy played, he played 23 minutes, had 5 points, 24 minutes and had 0 points. So, you know, that in 15 minutes and had 2 points. And everybody kind of played during this tournament for Purdue, and they did not show up. And these were guys that showed up in a lot of these games. And just, you know, they were just Smith, Lawyer, Jones, some of their starters. Stevie was playing 23, 25, 30 minutes and had 0 points.
Yeah.
So
that's not good enough. You don't win championships that way. You everybody has to contribute.
Yeah.
And if you don't, I know you always have your big player, but the other guys have to contribute or you don't win championships.
Yeah, no, 100% right. So that's enough. This is what we talk about, the NC2A men's basketball. We'll talk, the season is officially over. And then let's head over to the woman's side, Stevie. I was listening to one of our other shows earlier today, and I was just listening and thinking about, you know, just talking about, the women's side. And it was a couple of things that really jumped out at me when I was watching the women's side, because I'm a girl dad. My daughter, you know, had success, did it at the highest level. I pushed her to the kind of the breaking point of when she was trying to be successful at her sport. And I got to tell you, Stevie, this women, not only Caitlin Clark, Cardoza, you have Johnson, you have the South Carolina team that was so dominant over the course of a whole season. Stevie, it's hard. It's hard to win in any Division I sport, but they was 38-0. 38-0. Last year they were 37-1. I mean, it's just impressive what these ladies have done for college sports, but sports in general on a whole nother level with how impressed so many of these girls have been and these young ladies have been from, I mean, just Reese, Caitlin's, the Cardoza, I mean, just so many, Buckner down at UConn. It's just the girls have really taken the girls' game and not only elevated, and now you got Dawn Staley and you got all these wonderful coaches, but they have taken women's sports. And I was a couple of days ago. Did you know this, Stevie, that the men actually, when they go into the 68, because it's 68 teams when we first started, and it boils down to 64 because you got some playing teams. But of the 68 teams that get that opportunity to play on that stage, each school gets paid. They split about $78 million or $80 million. Wow. Amongst themselves. Wow. Doesn't sound like a lot when you're thinking about how many schools and whatnot. But when you think about that, that's just the pay that they get from being in the tournament.
Right.
Now, go on the other side, the women's side. Guess how much the women get?
40?
Zero.
Are you kidding me?
Zero.
How is that possible?
Zero. I don't know how they have it set up, Stevie, or what they've done. I don't know if the women just wasn't as popular as it's been over the years, but the women don't get no kind of pay.
Okay, that's going to change, Mark. That's going to change because in the past years, not as popular. So not as many people in the stands, not as many people watching on TV. That's changed now with Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and UConn team being as good as it is and South Carolina as good as it is under Staley. That will change now, Mark.
Because they are
getting TV money.
Yeah, it truly has to, because these women's have not only elevated women's sport, but they've also elevated it to the WNBA, because a lot of those same great players that was in college, Stevie, have transferred into has done this transcended, like our two-time NBA champion, the Aces, right? Asia Wilson. She was on a South Carolina team. She was on that South Carolina team. Aaliyah Boston, she was on that South Carolina team who went undefeated last year and only lost one game, and I was in the Final Four. So women's sports has really taken over, and I'm a big supporter of women's sports, and for them not to be making, if not more or just as much as the men, because it was more interesting to me this year is to watch what the women did over what the men did.
Well, I agree with you there, Mark, and believe me, the money and the prestige is coming their way. Because we've already seen, you know, Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese get these nice NIL deals, so money's coming their way, and I know that the WNBA fans can't wait for those women to get into their league and show their skills on that floor.
Yeah, so, and it's coming.
It's only going to grow.
They've done a wonderful job. I mean, Caitlin Clark, just before we wrap up and get over into some Golden Knights, April 15th, round of the WNBA draft. And she's projected to be the first pick to the Fever. She's projected to be the top pick to the Fever, which, you know, hands down, unless something happens. But rounds 1, 2, and 3 are going to be Monday, April 15th from 7:30 to 9:30 down in Brooklyn. So that's going to be the WNBA draft, and they have her projected right now. Clark and Reese and Cardosa from South Carolina, they're all in the top 10. So you're probably going to have 3 or 4 of the girls that were just in this tournament be a top 10 pick in the WNBA draft come April 15th, which is what's today? We're at the 9th now. So in six days, on Monday, they're going to have this draft. So I think it's going to also elevate the WNBA and how they structure their pay now, right? Because everybody's going to be watching Caitlin Clark at the Indiana Fever. They not only have two. They got Caitlin Clark and last year's number one pick, Elena Boston from South Carolina, who was the rookie of the year. So now you put her with Boston. That Indiana Fever team is going to be pretty doggone good with some quality players that's going to also bring fans.
Yep. And viewers, on the TV games, Mark, and TV money's huge as well. So Again, it's going to be an exciting project. There's a huge influx of really good female athletes coming to the WNBA. The level of play in that league now is going to be extremely high. It's going to be really fun to watch those women play.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that. I mean, we're going to talk a lot about the WNBA. Of course, our Las Vegas Aces, back-to-back champions. So we'll be covering them and excited to see who we pick up in that draft. So it's going to be exciting. Well, let's fast forward. Let's get to a hot topic, Stevie. I know you got to ready to talk a little bit of Golden Knights. If you want to talk a little bit about injuries, I'm going to just throw some things out to you and you just kind of you run with it. So I watched the Wild, Canucks, Coyotes, and Canucks. So they played the Canucks two games in the last week.
Twice in the last week.
They won one and they lost one. The last game they played, they did lose to the Canucks 4-3. Vegas right now is in fourth place in the Pacific Division, 42 wins, 27 losses. They're behind Vancouver, Edmonton, and the LA Kings. Right. What is the state of this team, Stevie, right now? We're getting close to that time of the playoffs. And I always say, sport, it doesn't matter. How is the team plan going into the playoffs? Are they on a high? Are they on a low? Are they just kind of neutral? Where's this team right now, Stevie?
So this week, the last two games this week did not look good, but you have to take them one game at a time, right? So on Tuesday, when they played Vancouver, near perfect game, Mark. They had jumped. The defense was good. They got the puck out of their own end when they needed to and attacked the net and didn't stop attacking. It was one of their best games of the year. So now out of that game on Tuesday, they then play Arizona on Friday. And it's a trap game. And I know playing football, you know what a trap game is. They've just beaten this really good team. And now they're playing a lousy team. And they're looking ahead to a really good team, the same team that they beat on Tuesday. But they did come out. Well, actually, the first period was kind of sloppy by both teams. And the second period started out that way. Then the Knights really did play well in the back half of the second period. But against Arizona, they come out in the third period and they think they have the game won. And again, I know you know this from football, that they just are kind of going through the motions because they know they're going to win. And they allowed Arizona to get back in the game and win that game. They played like a prevent defense. They weren't attacking. They didn't finish the game. And it happens in football as well as hockey. So I know you know what that is. And that's what happened to them in Arizona. And then on Monday, they play Vancouver last night. And again, this is classic in football as well as any other sport. Vancouver had just lost to Vegas like a week ago. So Vancouver's coming in. They want revenge, right? Classic revenge game. Again, the Knights came out strong. They got two goals and really playing well in the first period. But then one penalty was a dumb penalty. I don't know why Vegas took that penalty. Power play goal for Vancouver. The second penalty was a bad call by the referee. But again, they got a power play goal. And from there, Vancouver just kind of kept coming. They were motivated the whole game because they wanted to make up for what happened to them last Tuesday. Vegas should have seen that coming and been a little more. The intensity should have been higher for Vegas, and it just wasn't.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to expect from here on out, truthfully. Those were two bad games when they should have played better. I still think that Vegas makes the playoffs, but I'm not sure, you know, how they play in the playoffs. They've got a game coming up Wednesday against Edmonton. The one plus for them is Edmonton's best player, McDavid, probably doesn't play in that game. He's got a lower body injury, hasn't practiced the last 2 days. So I don't expect him to play. I hope Vegas takes advantage of that they come out, and just aggressively attack Edmonton. Their defense, is not good. Their goaltender has been good at times this year, but he's not consistent. So hopefully, Vegas comes out and takes advantage of Edmonton's best player not being there and gets 2 points tomorrow night. We'll have to see.
Yeah. No, that's great information on the Knights front. And here we are, Vegas Sports Nation, Mark Hayes, Stevie Slapshot. We're talking a little VGK. We're always excited about our last segment of the day. We still got some time left. And, Stevie, I was just kind of going through their schedule. And, one thing that jumped out to me with the, Knights, and, please elaborate on this a little more. And, most of their losses, I want to say most, but I'm just kind of strolling through, but a lot of their losses came on the road. Is Vegas a team that has to have home field or home ice during the playoffs to be successful, or can they go on the road and beat one of these good teams?
Yeah, maybe this year the road's going to be an issue, Mark. In past years, it hasn't made any difference. They have been, in fact, I believe last year they had the best road record in the National Hockey League. And previous to that, they had been good on the road in their time. But this year has been a struggle for them on the road. I'm not sure what's changed there. I'm not sure I know why. But they're definitely better at home this year than on the road. And I'll just say in the playoffs, in the National Hockey League overall, home ice really hasn't made that much difference. There has been recently in the playoffs as many wins on the road as there have been, for the home team. So we'll see how it plays out, but that's a good point, Mark. The road games for them in the playoffs could be an issue. They haven't been as good on the road this year as in past years.
Yeah, and you know, that was just something I was just kind of really interested in seeing that, because sometimes, you know, you have a teams that play really well on at home, right? Because we've talked about this in studio, is, you know, they got the comfort of their home, they got the comfort of their family, they got the comfort of kids, but that can also be a curse. All right. You got the dropping kids off at school, you got practice, you got the wife breathing down your neck. You know, and you may be in your own bed, but you're not sleeping as you do on the road in a hotel bed, because nobody's distractions, none of that is happening. But just kind of going down their schedule and just looking at, where does this team right now, Stevie, if this team, where do you see them falling in the playoffs, and who may be that playoff first opening round against?
Well, we're looking, Vancouver, Edmonton are definitely possibilities. I think it's probably either Vancouver or Edmonton. That'd be my guess right now.
Yeah,
will be their first round opponent. They've had really good success over the years over both of these teams, and I think the same would be true right now with Edmonton. I don't see much difference in them. Vancouver's a different team this year. Their number one goaltender is injured right now. They definitely need him to be back, but their defense is much better. And they're very aggressive now. They went out and got some bigger guys, so they're very physical. This Vancouver team's a different team, and in my mind, they're not winning the Stanley Cup this year, but they're gonna get close, and they're gonna be tough to knock out of the playoffs.
Yeah, wow, that's amazing. Great information right there, Stevie Slapshot, our Vegas VGK expert. Before we go, Stevie, I just want to, they got 5 games left. All right. That's the schedule, that I'm looking here. Look, 5 games left. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through each game and you tell me win or loss. I want you to just tell me win or loss. Okay. I got one game is on the road. So they go to Edmonton on Wednesday. How do you see that one playing out?
I think they could win that game, Mark. Again, over the years, they've had good success against Edmonton. And they're coming off these 2 losses that should be embarrassing to them, really. So I think that there's every chance that they take out those 2 losses on Edmonton, even though it's in Edmonton on Wednesday.
Yeah. And then Friday, they come home for a 4-game home stretch against Minnesota.
Yeah. So Minnesota gave them all they wanted last game. This could be a tough game, Mark, because the first game home off a road trip like this, That can be a tough one to win in the National Hockey League. So I think it's going to be a close, tough game for them. I would lean toward Minnesota winning that game, to be honest with you.
All right. Sunday, April 14th at 12:30, Colorado Avalanche is coming to the Fortress.
So as good as Colorado is, and they're one of the best teams in the National Hockey League this year, again, Vegas has had success against them over the years. If they lose to Minnesota, as I just kind of thought they would, then again, they'll be focused for Colorado. They played well against them over the years, and they're at home. And again, they're a good home team this year. So I'm going to say that VGK beats Colorado in that game.
Yep. And then the final two home games, we wrap up. We got Chicago Tuesday, April 16th at 7 p.m. What do you say about Chicago?
So Chicago's not a good team. The only way that VGK loses that game is if they look past them. And they shouldn't look past them. They're going to need those 2 points now because they coughed up, you know, those last two games here this week. So they are the better team than Chicago, Mark. They should win that game.
Okay, and then we wrap up the season finale Thursday, April 18th at 7 p.m. Anaheim coming to the Fortress. What do you say about Anaheim?
Yeah. So, again, Anaheim's one of the second-division teams this year. They're a bottom feeder. VGK is very much better than Anaheim. At home, Vegas should win that game against Anaheim.
All right. There it is from Stevie Slapshot. You heard it. He just gave you the breakdown of their next five games. Make sure you tune in and listen to or watch it or get down to the Fortress. Wednesday, April 10th, they play in Edmonton. Then they got four game stretch at home Friday, April 12th at 7 p.m. versus Minnesota. Sunday, April 14th. Versus Colorado at 12:30 p.m. And then Tuesday, April 16th, they play Chicago at 7 p.m. And then Thursday, April 18th versus Anaheim at the Fortress at 7 p.m. So get your tickets and get down there and check it out. Make sure you support them. Even if it's at a local pub, if they're playing away, you can still watch the VGK on channel 5.2. If you guys have that, I know a lot of their games are on that 5.2 station. So you can listen and see how accurate our hockey expert, Stevie Slapshot. Stevie, we got about 50 seconds. Is there anything injury report wise that you can share with our listeners? Any injuries that we should know about?
Yeah, so the one most important one is the goalie Aiden Hill is with the team. He's with them as they travel to Edmonton for tomorrow's game. He is practicing. I don't expect him to play against Edmonton, but he's getting close. So that's a good sign for the VGK as well. Aiden Hill could be back here one of these games in the final four game homestand.
Yeah, and how important is him? Hill being there for the playoffs.
Well, you definitely want that. Logan Thompson's been really good, but Hill is as good as Thompson. So you would like to have two really good goalies just in case one of them gets a nick or one of them, you know, gets tired. Either one of them is just as good as the other one. So that's a plus for the VGK going into the playoffs.
Wonderful. All right, Stevie. Hey, man, we did it. We did. Hey, we're going to have to find Brooks, huh? We're going to find Brooks and tell him he don't have to come next Tuesday.
Well, I think he owes us both dinner is what I think.
Yeah, and he's probably out there listening. Yeah, if he's not listening, I'm going to send him the audio. I'm going to send him the recording of this show. All right. Wonderful job, man, as always. Thank you for kind of tuning in, and we'll see you back in studio. Are you still there for another week?
Yeah, so I'm going to be back in Vegas on Friday.
Okay.
And I'll see you next Tuesday, man. Thanks for doing this with me. I appreciate it.
Oh, no, all the time, man. Say hi to the family, man. Hi to your dad. Enjoy those moments, Stevie. Enjoy that vacation, man. And when you get home, we'll talk and get this thing back wrapping and rolling on next Tuesday. Same time, same place.
All right, Mark. Have a great week. We'll see you Tuesday, if not before.
All right, brother.
All right, buddy.